here. I've got proof here. You can raise it down so that they know that it is true.
Yes. Certificate of excellence. So this guy's an excellent brother. Presented by the Durban Church of Christ to Thembu Nkosi for outstanding, for obtaining an A aggregate, including all the tests and final exams during equipping class in 1997. Yeah, attendance 100%, exam marks 92%, test marks 83.5%, amen. And this is the man. Yo, what an honor that you're preaching to us this morning. Thank you.
So now you know that you have the Durban Church of Christ alumni. Amen. Our message this morning is titled Pursue Righteousness. Amen. Amen. You know, it's so amazing. As I was going through the book of Genesis, I discovered something very, very interesting. According to the Bible, in Genesis 1, verse 26 to 28, God created human beings primarily to reflect his image, an experience of a loving relationship with him, and to have dominion over creation. You know, that is basically why he created us, to be his image bearers. But interestingly, when you go to Genesis 2, from verse 5 to 17, God creates this beautiful garden, places the man to look after it, and occasionally he would visit them just to spend time with him. And then, while he was there, he realizes this dude is lonely, and he creates a companion for him. My brothers and sisters, we are serving a relational God who loves relationships, and that is why he would come down and spend time with Adam in the garden. As image bearers, man's desire for relationship is a fundamental human need, characterized by a craving for emotional intimacy, companionship, and a sense of stability, trust, and acceptance. As human beings, we desire human connections. We want to be respected and appreciated. We have this desire to feel valued and supported, and a need for partners that provide a sense of emotional connection. While often underestimated, men also value open communication, shared experiences, and a stable, dependable partnership. That is basically what was happening in the garden. But then sin came in Genesis 3, and destroyed that relationship. But the amazing thing, my brothers and sisters, is that because we serve a God who values relationships, and because of his righteousness, God was so committed to having a relationship with man to such an extent that he was willing to sacrifice his son to restore his original plan. In John 3:16, it is very clear when you read it. Righteousness is God's character. It encompasses living justly, honestly, and compassionately. It is a key factor in building and maintaining healthy relationships. It fosters trust, respect, and empathy, creating a foundation for strong, fulfilling connections. Before we go to our text, which is in 1 Timothy 6, verse 11 to 12, I just want to say, I did not come alone here. I came with friends, and I'd like to introduce them. I came with friends. There is a friend who has become part of Durban. Is she here? Aus CD, are you here? Then a miracle happened a couple of years ago. Believe it or not, I made a friend after the age of 50. And they are here. This is Figures. Can you stand up so that... And then, by the way, I don't know whether you guys remember this. I am now an orphan. I no longer have parents. And I have one sibling. She's here with me today. My sister, Princess. My better half, Judith. My son, Tabani. My daughter, Zama. And guys, believe it or not, when I left here, I left with two babies. One was doing grade one, and the other one was 3 years old. Tandolwethu and Tandukubonga. It is an honor to be here, my brothers and sisters. And it is wonderful to just get an opportunity to share the word with you. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 to 12. But you, men of God, flee from all this. I'm not even going to talk about that because Lo did a great job talking about fleeing from all of this in the past 2 weeks. And pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. And 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22 says, flee the evil of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You know, just to give you the context, in 1 Timothy 6, verse 3 to 10, Paul advises the young preacher Timothy to flee from the desires, worldly desires, to get rich. You know, in my short career of over 38 years in the SAPS, I have seen a lot of colleagues lose their careers because of their love for money. My brothers, it's rough out there. And my friend Uma Shesha can tell you, when I left Durban, we were praying together at Bulwer Park because things were tough. People had involved themselves in corruption. And it went to the point where it was so rough in my life, I wanted to quit the police. And Duncan said to me, my brother, what if you were brought in this organization for times like this? That inspired me, that encouraged me, and the rest is history. You know what happened. But I'm grateful that I held on, and on Friday was my last day in the organization. Sadly, my brothers and sisters, this is not an SAPS problem, but a societal problem. That includes us as the family of believers. We have conformed to the pattern of this world. Some of us have fallen into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that have plunged us into ruin and destruction. While some of us, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced ourselves and families with many griefs. And in 2 Timothy 2, verse 22, Timothy is advised to flee youthful lusts or youthful passions. Youthful lust, as described in 2 Timothy 2, verse 22, encompasses a range of desires that are common in youth but can be harmful if not controlled. These are sexual desires, but also extend to desires for money, pleasure, power, popularity, and other worldly pursuits. They are characterized by a strong, often uncontrolled desire for something that can lead us away from righteousness, faith, love, and peace. You know, when we read 2 Timothy 2, verse 22, there is a part that captured my heart. It says, pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Right there, my favorite topic, the need for accountability, my brothers and sisters. Along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Paul is emphasizing the importance of cultivating these spiritual qualities along with a community that shares a sincere faith. This is a call to actively choose virtue and build strong relationships with fellow believers and strive for a deeper connection with God. This takes me to my next point. What is righteousness? For this purpose, I'm not going to use a dictionary. James 2, verse 21 to 24. It's very clear and it's helpful in understanding what righteousness means. It says, was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see, that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. My brothers and sisters, righteousness makes relationships better. Abraham's belief in God, combined with his acting upon that belief, was perceived by God as bettering their relationship, so much so that God calls him friend. Okay? So what is righteousness? Righteousness can be defined in its simplest form as anything that makes a relationship better. Righteousness can be defined as in its simplest form as anything that makes a relationship better. It is not about being right or even doing right. You know, I've seen a lot of things happening in the church of late. And I look at people. Everyone wants to prove that they are right and the other person is wrong. My brothers and sisters, that is not righteousness. Righteousness is not about being right or doing right. Righteousness is anything that betters a relationship between two people or between someone and God. In the next few scriptures, I want to look at the life application of pursuing righteousness. But still on the fact that righteousness is something that makes a relationship better, think of it this way. If someone steals from you, does it make a relationship better? If you are unfaithful to your wife, does it make a relationship better? If you frustrate your children, does it make your relationship better? So what makes relationship better? You know, it's very interesting that all the things that are sinful, they actually don't make relationships better. And things like kindness, love, good communication, patience, all those things, they make relationships better. So how do we respond to this great love that God has given us? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 to 33, I'm going to read from the AMPC. I love how it puts it. It says, therefore, do not worry and be anxious, saying, what are we going to eat? Or what are we going to have to drink? Or what are we going to have to wear? For the Gentiles, the heathen, wish and crave and diligently seek all these things. And your heavenly Father knows well that you need them all. But seek, which means aim at and strive after. First of all, the kingdom and his righteousness, which is his way of doing and being right. And then all these taken together will be given to you besides. You know, I love this illustration about this scripture. The Bible says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Can you imagine? The kingdom of God is that way, right? And you are seeking it. And then while you are seeking it, the blessings are coming from this side. What are you supposed to do? To seek his righteousness and let the blessings come. But the tendency is that we turn around and we want to receive these things. But these things were told to come to us as we're facing this way, seeking his kingdom. When we tend to face them, they run away. And they pull us away from his kingdom. My brothers and sisters, don't lose your focus. Amen. Seek God's kingdom and not receive things and move away from his kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
You know, Proverbs 21 verse 21 says, he who earnestly seeks after, listen to this, he who earnestly seeks after and craves righteousness, mercy, and loving kindness will find life in addition to righteousness, which is uprightness and right standing with God and honor. So you get these things as you seek after and you crave righteousness. Okay? Then you will get these things in addition. Don't chase life. Okay? Because if you chase life, you leave in what God desires for you behind. In Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, the Bible says, sow righteousness for yourselves. Reap the fruit of unfailing love and break up your unplowed ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers his righteousness on you. Sow righteousness for yourself. Reap the fruits of unfailing love and break up the unplowed ground. You know, if I had time, I was going to ask Ubaba Mashesha, what does it mean to break up your unplowed ground from a farmer's perspective? I had a little experience. We moved into a house last year, and as they were building, the soil was compacted. Now that part of that compacted soil, we need to turn it to a garden. Yo! It was tough. Just to break the unplowed ground. And there were rocks that are coming. And, you know, as they were compacting it, I think they put some cement as well. And cement was coming, you know. I had to work hard. It's a small garden, but just to ensure that something green comes out of it, I had to work hard. In the Bible, unplowed ground or fallow ground is a metaphor for a heart or life that is spiritually hardened, neglected, or unproductive, and in need of repentance and renewal. It signifies a state where one's heart is not receptive to God's word or blessings, similar to how unplowed land is not ready for planting. When the farmer is God and our hearts is good soil, God will shine his light on us and shower us with righteousness and feed us from his word. But we must get our hearts ready. We must break up the hard ground. We must clear out the rocks and stones and plant seeds of high quality. That is what we need to do. The question is, how is your heart this morning? Is your heart hard? And what are you doing about it? I want us to look at a few challenges and obstacles to righteousness. The first challenge is isolation. Okay? One of the weapons Satan uses is to isolate us from fellowship with other believers who call on the Lord with a pure heart. Righteousness is a key component in building and maintaining healthy relationships. It fosters trust, understanding, and mutual support, creating a positive environment for growth and connection. You don't want to look like that man on that picture there, to be isolated spiritually. Amen? That is not what you want to look like. If the scripture says, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. Are you breaking up against all sound judgment by isolating yourself? My brothers and sisters, it is cold out there. It is cold out there. Don't allow Satan to isolate you from other believers who call on the Lord with a pure heart. Amen? The next challenge is self-reliance. Proverbs 3 verse 5 in the AMP says, trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know and acknowledge and recognize him, and he will make your paths straight and smooth, removing obstacles that block your way. My brothers and sisters, at times we fall into the trap of self-reliance. I'm going to tell you a very interesting story about the person you see in front of you. So, I come to the Durban Church of Christ, I become a disciple, and I'm asking myself, We have to walk to Selma Court, to Melvin's flat, all the time for Bible talk. And I'm like, this thing doesn't make sense. I was staying in Albert Park. So what do I do? I'm staying with two brothers, Roderick and Sunny Boy. I say to them, brothers, on Tuesday, because the Bible talks were happening on Thursdays, I'm like, on Tuesdays, we're going to have our Bible talk. But this is how we're going to do it. I'm not even seeking any advice from anyone. I'm like, brothers, all of you, let's go out there and get dates. So it's three of us in the flat and the three sisters. We tell the sisters we're having Bible talk, but they don't have to bring visitors. We'll invite visitors. They must just come. We'll provide food and everything. So the sisters, they come. I remember it was Zandi, it was Lindile. I don't remember the third sister. So we moved. They came to Albert Park. The flat was packed. We had our Bible talk, and the sisters, they say, we're no longer going back to our Bible talk. No one has told us that we may start a Bible talk here. So we and the Bible talk, you know, it was doing well. But now I become very big-headed, you know, and a brother who was visiting, Daniel Dube, if you all remember him, Triple D. He comes to Durban and he meets with the brothers there, with a brother who was our sector leader, and they call all the family group leaders. They come to our flat. And this brother comes and he brings two cups. The other one is empty and the other one is full of water. He did a very short message, you know, about emptying your cup, you know. And after he had finished, he said, from today, all of you are no longer Bible talk leaders. So I was fired. I was fired as a Bible talk leader. Now, let me come to self-reliance. I thought, you know what? I'm going to sort these guys out. I'm going to evangelize my own Bible talk. And I was going to work. After work, there was a flat where Jennifer used to stay. I was studying the Bible with people there. I kid you not, I had people queuing, waiting to study the Bible. And I was doing it alone. Because I wanted to start this Bible talk on my own. I'm telling you, it was exhausting. You know, until one day, I was at Berea Center. I met Upen in Berea Center, and I told him the story. The brother didn't say much. He says, he who wants to be great must become a servant of them all. That changed my perspective. And I stopped laboring for nothing. Self-reliance, my brothers, doesn't work. That is where I started learning and understanding what accountability is, you know, and what it means for us to work together as Christians. The next obstacle I want to talk about is bitterness. Hebrews 12, verse 14 to 15 says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. My brothers and sisters, unprocessed emotions are like garbage bags stored and poisoning your mind. Left unprocessed, emotions can stunt your spiritual growth and cause you to become spiritually numb. I experienced that in the past couple of years, my brothers and sisters. There was a lot of things that happened in my family. There was a lot of things that happened in my life. And I was carrying a lot of emotional garbage that I was not dealing with. Until I made a decision to go for professional counseling, to clear the garbage that was inside of me. I remember phoning my sister and we were talking because some of the things had to do with the losses we had had in our family over the years, and I had not dealt with those things. When I was phoning my sister and I was talking about it, she said to, you know, actually this is not about you, it's therapeutic for me as well. I have been carrying a lot of pain, I have been carrying a lot of garbage. My brothers and sisters, do not allow feelings of bitterness or any other unprocessed emotions to pile up like that inside of you. You know, I'm walking freely right now because I made that decision. And by the way, I've made a decision that either I go for professional counseling or I go on a sabbatical every year on my own just to cleanse. But not only that, I've also decided that, you know, you clean your house every day. And on a certain day, in our case is Wednesday, the truck comes to take garbage away. You need to do that as well when it comes to your spiritual life. Clear your house on a daily basis. In the evening, sit down there and reflect on your day. Deal with each day as it comes. Amen? Amen. Another challenge or obstacle is the lack of growth. In Hebrews 5, verse 12 to 14, it says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary teachings of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. You know, Ray Kroc once said, when you are green, you are growing. When you are ripe, you begin to rot. My brothers, we need to desire the word of God. We need to crave the word of God. We need to earnestly pursue righteousness. We need to remain green. Because when you are ripe, you are beginning to rot spiritually. Amen? Hebrews 6 verse 12 says, therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God. Instruction about the cleansing rites and laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and the eternal judgment. My brothers, faith is an elementary teaching. That is why you are taught that when you're doing Bible studies. Repentance is an elementary teaching, my brothers and sisters. You know, think of it this way. I go to work and I come back from work and I tell my wife, you know what? Yo, there is this girl at work. You know, every time I look at her, I just melt. But you know what? Because I fear God and I don't want to disappoint you, I don't do anything about it. And she's like, wow, my husband is repentant. But I come back the following day, I tell her the same thing. Then again, the same thing. What does that do? It shows that this guy is still living on the elementary teachings of repentance, confession. He is not growing. Fear is an elementary teaching. And in James it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. My brothers, we need to move from fear to love. Fear can take you so far because it's elementary. You need to grow from there. That's why the Bible talks about adding to your faith knowledge, and to knowledge goodness, and it goes on and on. We need to be growing, and it says you must possess this in increasing measure. So even when you have gotten hold of it, it's not enough because it's not in increasing measure. Amen?
Amen.
Let's look at the importance of pursuing righteousness, my brothers. Righteousness, or pursuing righteousness, is foundational. It's the foundation of trust. Righteous behavior builds trust. When people know they can rely on your honesty, fairness, and integrity, it creates a sound foundation for any relationships. So we need to pursue righteousness because it is a foundation of trust. Also, it is also helpful for healthy communication. You know, righteousness encourages open and honest communication. When individuals are committed to righteousness, they are more likely to address issues directly and respectfully rather than resorting to manipulation or deceit. So, the next one, empathy and understanding. A righteous person is more likely to empathize with others and try to understand their perspectives. This fosters compassion and strengthens the bonds of the relationship. The next one is conflict resolution. Righteousness helps in resolving conflicts constructively. It promotes seeking fair solutions and avoiding actions that could further damage the relationship. Another one is personal growth. Striving for righteousness encourages self-reflection and personal growth. It helps individuals and identify and address their own shortcomings, leading to healthier interactions with others. Let us look at Psalms 10, verse 4. In his pride, the wicked man does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. How is your heart this morning? Is your heart hardened to the word of God? How is your mind? Is it set on things from above? Is it set on things of God? Are you pursuing peace? Are you pursuing good communication? Are you pursuing kindness? What are you thinking about every day? Are you thinking about things from above? How is your neck this morning? Try and stretch it. Let's check it. Are you stiff-necked? You don't listen to others anymore. You don't listen to advice anymore. You don't seek advice. Are you stiff-necked? How are your hands? Are you serving and being the hands of Jesus? There is need to serve the poor. There is need to serve at Kids Zone. There is need to serve. You know, I sometimes ask people, bro, I've noticed that every Sunday you are late for church. Do you know who set up that chair for you? Don't you think it would be nice one day to be the one setting up the chair for the one who always comes and sets for you? You come to church, the sound system is already here. You know, Melvin was walking straight when he started with the sound system. Have you ever thought of relieving Melvin? How are your feet? Are they on the right path? Are they taking you to church or are they taking you to brothels? Are they taking you to the tavern? Or are they taking you for evangelism? Are you pursuing righteousness? My brothers and sisters, in conclusion, I just want to say this. Righteousness is not about following a set of rules. It is about cultivating a mindset and a way of interacting with others that promotes mutual respect, understanding, and ultimately flourishing relationships. Let's go out there and desire, crave earnestly, seek, pursue righteousness, and so on and so forth. To God be the glory. Amen. Amen.